Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. Just like Ben said, my name's Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central, and I'm pumped that you guys are with us today. And for everyone that's online, thank you guys for being here. If you look at me, you're like, who is this guy up here with the suit on? I mean, this isn't me. Once a year, I tell everybody, once a year, Easter, I'm going to wear this. And it reminds me of when I was little. My mom used to dress me up in it wasn't my favorite Easter outfit, but it was her favorite Easter outfit for me. You know what I'm saying? A lot of parents, you probably did that this morning. I remember growing up and having to get all dressed up, and I see some of you guys are dressed up for Easter. Today is my 30th Easter as a believer in Jesus, which is a pretty cool thing. But man, things have changed, haven't they? Haven't they? Not just in church, but like in life, things are so different than they were many, many years ago. One of those is family reunions. Anybody still do family reunions? Aren't those amazing? Oh, no, they're bad. Like, I don't want to go to a family reunion. Some of you guys probably don't want to go to family reunions either. But back in the day, I used to go to those, and I would have to see some family members that, you know, once a year is enough. That's the quota. You know, you're done after that 1 year. But today, you can't escape your crazy uncle, right? Because of social media. He's always putting crazy stuff out there. And if you don't know one of those, you're probably that person, okay? And so, man, it's a different day and age. And one of the biggest changes today is the rise of conspiracy theories. Anybody a conspiracy theorist in this room? Okay, some of y'all, yeah, all right, y'all are admitting conspiracy theorists. It's all over the place today. You can't even watch the news like something happening that happened yesterday. There's going to be people all over the internet talking about, well, this stuff, that's actually what's going on. Like the moon landing is fake or, you know, the earth is flat. Any flat earthers in this room? Okay, any flat earthers? All right. Clapping in the back. Okay. Woo. They're in the sound booth, I think. Man, you know, aliens are being hidden from us, or microchips are being put in the vaccine, so don't get the vaccine. You know, like, there's just all sorts of crazy stuff out there. And the reason we buy into conspiracy theorists is for two reasons. One is we're just skeptical people, aren't we? Just naturally, we're kind of skeptical. And we're also experiential people at the exact same time. What that means is that we're hesitant to believe information that we receive, but also, unless there's like video evidence or you've experienced it personally, then there's always like a check in your gut of like, I'm not sure if this is real. And you know what? Today with AI, it's getting really crazy with the deep fakes that are out there. You can watch videos of like famous people giving speeches or saying things, and it's not really them. Do you know that? It's like completely fake. I don't know where this takes us as a society, but it's just hard to like believe things that are out there today. And so what is the purpose of me beginning today by talking about something like that? What does this have to do with Easter? Well, we can't believe something that happened yesterday without thinking, man, is it real or not? How do we believe something that happened 2,000 years ago, whether it was true or not? In fact, if you're taking notes, you could write this down. This is a good kind of opening to today and answering this question. Is Easter a crucifact or is it crucifixion? Okay. Is Easter fact or fiction? Well, we're a church. And so, man, we're going to proclaim what the Bible has to say, but is it true? Is the Bible true? Did Jesus really die? Did he really come out of the grave? And this is what the Bible says about what happened. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this: if Christ has not been raised, okay, if Easter is not true, if this is all something that is fake and a hoax, then all of our preaching is useless, meaning everything we're doing, everything the churches do all across the world, it's just worthless. And your faith is useless. Talking about a more personal thing. If you're a believer in Jesus, then if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then your faith is actually useless. And this is terrible for everyone. Then you're still guilty of your sins. Meaning there is no hope. Why do we celebrate Easter? It's because of the hope that we find in the story of what actually happened. This is why Easter is so important. But can we know that it's actually true? Well, let me just start off by saying this. The Bible is like an eyewitness news report, okay? Of many things, but one of the main things that it's an eyewitness account of is Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, all four Gospels, they talk about Jesus' death on the cross, that he was betrayed, he was arrested, he is taken in front of these, in a kind of a mock trial, and they scream and yell, the people did, crucify him, right? And then he is whipped and tortured, and then he's led away to be crucified. In all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're varied, they're different. They're detailed, they're very detailed. This isn't like allegory or metaphor. These are historical eyewitness accounts, but they're also very personal, coming from their points of view or the eyewitness point of view. Look what Mark chapter 15 has to say. Mark is one of the Gospels, and it records what happened from eyewitness testimony. It says, then the soldiers, they nailed him to the cross. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And at noon, so 3 hours later, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. So 6 hours on the cross. And it says, then Jesus uttered another loud cry, and he breathed his last. He died. And here's the evidence. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, this man truly was the Son of God. All of them, all these accounts are written from these different perspectives, different points of view, recording one event. There are four accounts of one reality. But they didn't just record his death. They also recorded his resurrection. Look in verse 42. It says this in Mark 15, that this all happened on a Friday. So Jesus is crucified on a Friday morning. He dies early in the afternoon. And you got to understand Jewish culture back then. The Sabbath was about to happen, and you could not do anything on the Sabbath. It was a law. You couldn't work. You couldn't do anything on a Sabbath. And Sabbath actually was all Saturday. In fact, it actually backed up to when the sun went down on Friday. And so Jesus is crucified. He dies about 3 o'clock. They only have a couple hours to get his body in the tomb. And from Friday when the sun went down, all that night, all day Saturday, and then Saturday night until the sun came up on Sunday morning, that is the Sabbath. That's when Jesus was in the grave. The soldiers confirmed that he had died. His body was taken down. His body was prepared. It was placed in the tomb. And then guards were put up to protect the place. And the story continues in Mark chapter 16. Let me read some of it to you. This is what happened when the sun came up. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. Who went to the tomb? It was some women, some followers of Jesus who went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Because it was really heavy, right? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white and white robes sitting on the right side. It was an angel. And the women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. And then some lucky angel had the opportunity to say the most profound words in all of human history. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. And he showed them the place. And he commands them and says, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You're going to see him there, just as he told you before he died. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is real, that he was crucified, and that he rose from the grave. But I will say this. Let me just be honest with you. Many of us don't find that credible. And that's honestly, that's okay if you don't find that credible, because it's something that was written from a long time ago. And I understand that there are skeptics here. There are skeptics in this room. There are skeptics that are listening right now. You might say this, well, man, it was all made up for personal gain. There was this big conspiracy, this hoax that the disciples wanted to kind of tweak the evidence and tweak the story for their own personal gain. Or maybe what they said was actually true back then, but it's been changed over the years, over all these thousands of years. The Bible has been corrupted and changed, and we can't rely on what we actually have today. Well, this morning, here's what I'd like to do. I would like to discuss the evidence and answer the question, is the Easter story crucifact or is it crucifixion? Let me start off by giving some evidence for the Bible. Has the Bible been altered? Let me just look at the New Testament. The New Testament, there's over 5,800 ancient Greek manuscript or copies of the New Testament. And the oldest one is from about 130 AD that we actually have. So what that means is that this copy was actually in the hands of people who probably knew some of the disciples and walked with them when they were really young and some of the disciples were really old. These eyewitness accounts were actually, the people were actually there. There's actually 24,000 copies in other languages. And you think, well, I don't know how much that is compared to other stuff that's from back then. But if you think about like the typical ancient writer like Homer or somebody like that, we have about, on average, about 4 feet tall of their ancient manuscripts, their copies from way back then. About 4 feet high, we stacked all of them up. That's about the average. Well, the Bible, you have to stack up just these ancient manuscripts, you have to stack them up 1 mile high. So compare that, 4 feet high to 1 mile high. That's how much evidence we have of the reliability of these scriptures. And still, some of them are being discovered. More and more, that stack is getting taller and taller. And we may find some that are actually older and older and closer to when the disciples and Jesus were on this earth. Here's what's great about that. Here's what's cool about them. All of them are branching off from something that actually happened, stories that actually happened, and the eyewitness accounts that actually occurred. And if you kind of compare all of them, 99.8% of everything that's in those is identical. What that means is that they're all coming down to an original source, all saying the same thing, which is great evidence. But you know what? What about the idea of like, okay, but what if the original story was all made up, right? I mean, we may have all these copies of what they actually said at the beginning, but what if these disciples, what if these original followers, what if they just made it all up? Back in the day, I was a youth pastor, and one of the things I'm always working on is I'm a recovering addict on trying to win at everything. I'm super competitive. It's just me. And I don't know if anybody else in the room is like that, but I played a lot of ping pong, got paid for it. It was a great gig, okay, back in the day. And so as a youth pastor, I played a lot of ping pong. And one Sunday morning, I'm dressed up, and I was looking good, right? I had my slacks on. And I'm playing ping pong with this 11th grader, and he was way taller than me, go figure. And so we're playing, and he was really good. And, I mean, I was losing. I did not want to lose. And so I'm going all out. I'm sweating. I'm just going back and forth, and we're hitting the ball. And I went and stretched for one, guys, and I just heard this, just this big rip. And I was like, uh-oh. And I look at the clock 5 minutes before the service starts, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. And I look down, and this isn't just like a little rip of my pants. Like, you know, it's kind of a cool, you got to have some faded, you know, stuff, and that's the cool thing to do. Kids buy pants, they're like, that's crazy. But man, I had this rip that went down to my knee. I mean, it was just the whole thing. It was bad. And so I'm like, what do I do? And so I went to the drawer, grabbed a stapler, right? And I just start stapling it all the way up, okay? And so I just head on to the service like this, you know, just getting to the service. And I'm standing there, and I know what's going on. And no one else knows what's going on. I'm just like, oh, Lord, please let me get through this. You know, have you ever, like, been in a situation where you looked in the mirror and everything looked like it was okay, but it was not okay? Like, you looked like everything was, you were put together, but you weren't. Like, ladies, have you ever shown up somewhere, like, you looked in the mirror, like, I thought, I'm looking good, right? I got this dinner to go to, or I'm coming Easter Sunday to church, and you get to church, and your earrings are, like, mismatched, or your socks, or your shoes, or you ever put just makeup on one eye because you're so busy, and you forgot the other side, right? I mean, sometimes it happens. Sometimes we stare at something. We can stare at ourselves in the mirror, and we don't realize that things are not as they appear. We don't realize what we're seeing. And what the reason I tell that story is because in the Bible, there is some incredible evidence that sometimes we read these stories and we just don't realize the amount of evidence that is there. What I call this is the aha evidence. And I want to talk about some of this aha evidence. The aha evidence, the stuff that's like right under your nose, where something being right under your nose means that you fail to recognize that it's just right in front of your face. And if you just stop for a minute and you just look at what the Bible actually says and the claims of these eyewitnesses that Jesus really rose from the grave. The implications of this are astounding. In fact, we found an old video of the disciples and what happened after Jesus died.
Are we all here? I need 100% participation for this to work.
Yeah, everyone's here. All 12. 11. 11 of us. What's the plan?
Well, as you know, Jesus is dead. But stick with me, okay? Stick with me. I have a plan. We are going to steal his body.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. What's next?
And then we're going to tell the whole world that he rose from the dead.
Oh, you know I'm in.
I love it already.
All right, classic. Then what?
And then
we're all going to get brutally murdered.
Wait. Come again. Could you go over that last part real quick?
Oh, what? We get murdered. What's the problem?
I like it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pete. I love me a good hoax as much as the next guy, right? Right? What's in it for us? Do we all get riches, fame, and fortune first, right?
No, get this. You're going to be hated, persecuted, and reviled for the rest of your life!
Oh! Okay, guys. Okay, fellas. I gotta be missing something here, right? Okay? I mean, why on earth would we do this? Can we start over?
Okay. We'll start from the beginning. Everybody, for John,
your beloved disciple.
So, okay. We go down to Jesus' tomb.
Sounds good.
It's really easy.
Then we pay off the Roman soldiers that are guarding the tomb with their lives.
Why would they do that?
Then we somehow roll away the big stone that's in front of the tomb.
Obviously, you have to move the rock first. Duh.
And then we steal his body.
Yeah, I guess.
Then we tell the whole world that he rose from the dead, and we get brutally murdered for our troubles!
Epic prank, bro.
Peter, you rock! Okay, you guys have officially lost it, okay? I am out of here. I'd rather be exiled to a deserted island than spend another minute with you wackos.
Have I got some good news for you?
Hey, if you really think about the story and what these disciples were willing to go through because of what they had seen, it changes everything. Here's three facts that we can recognize, some evidence from this account. One is this: the truth usually isn't flattering, is it? I mean, think about that. The truth in our lives usually isn't always flattering. That's why, like, when we take family photos, and so here in a minute, maybe you already did this, but when we leave, you can go over here to this foyer over here and take a family photo. When we take family photos, you know what the goal is? The goal is to flatter, right? We want to get the good shot so we can post it and so we can wait for all the comments. Oh, man, your family looks just amazing, right? Oh, how beautiful your kids are, right? We want things to look good, you know? And so it's all about the angles. It's all about the lighting. We got some professional lighting there, by the way. You're welcome. Okay, so you can look good for what you're going to post online and share with people later on. Look, those who told the story of Jesus, they didn't put themselves in the best light. I mean, if you were making this up, you wouldn't add some of the things that they had in there. I mean, they talked about themselves, how they argued all the time, how they were jealous, how they were manipulative, how they ran from their problems when God had called them to be brave. They were unfaithful. They were cowards. And at the end, they abandoned Jesus. I mean, look, if you were making this up, you wouldn't say those kind of things about yourself. In fact, if you were making all this up, you know who the first eyewitnesses would not be? Women, okay? Sorry to say that. It's probably going to be posted online, okay? But women, back in the day, not now, but back then in that culture, women were not good eyewitnesses, like in trials. I don't know why that was, but culturally, that's the way it was. And the crazy thing about this story is the very first people that saw Jesus were women. If you were making this up, you wouldn't do that. In fact, the Gospels, if it's a hoax, it's a masterclass in what not to say, okay? That's not how you're supposed to do it. Here's something else. We love to erase our losses, don't we? Just naturally, we love to erase our losses. We don't like to record our failures in life. I mean, think about this. In social media, we don't record our failures. I mean, no one is going to their kid's baseball game and watching them play and be like, all right, Johnny, he went and posted, he went 0-for-4 today. He had like 3 errors in right field. The coach benched him. We take a picture of him on the bench. Man, we're so proud of him. No one does that, right? No, it's like, man, look at this hit, this base hit that he had. My kids play tennis and softball, and so we're always taking videos of them playing, and my kids hate it, but I get up, like I'm that weird dad, and I get up close to the chain link, and I'm like, put my phone through it. Anybody else do that? Like, you want that good shot, you know, and you're recording, and then, you know, when Corbin's finished with that game, or Hannah's done being at the plate, like I go back to my lawn chair, and what do? We go through all the stuff that was bad, right? And we delete it. And we're like, oh, I'm going to favorite that one hit, okay? No, I'm not posting like an error. I'm not posting anything bad. We only want to be seen in good light, right? And we also don't want people to see our failures. I think about the Bible. There's so much stuff in history where when a nation lost, they just ignored what actually happened. You wonder why there's no or not very many much evidence on the Egyptian side when it comes to Moses and the Jews being in captivity there as slaves and then miraculously crossing the Red Sea and going on their way. You know why there's not much evidence there? It's because the Egyptians just wanted to erase that. Like, they don't want anybody to know their weaknesses. They don't want people to know what actually happened. And so they just erase what actually happened. When it comes to the time of Jesus, when Jesus was here on this earth, the Romans and the Jewish leaders who were trying to get rid of him, they it was almost like during that time, they had this giant eraser of history, and they just tried their best to erase all accounts of what actually happened because they don't want people to know how they lost, right? We naturally do that. And their silence, like the historical silence that's right around that time, is actually pretty deafening and astonishing. Here's another truth that we find when it comes to the aha evidence, it's this. People may die for a belief. Like, people will do that. But you don't die for your own lie. Like, if you're making this up on your own, if you say you're an eyewitness to something and you're willing to die for it, people don't do that if it's made up. Look, there are martyrs in every religion. Not just being a Christian, but every religion. There's people who have a strong belief. And just because you have a really, really strong belief doesn't mean that it's true, okay? But you can have this strong belief, and people were willing to die for it. But the greatest evidence is this, is that eyewitnesses, people who are actually there, they were willing to be brutally punished and killed for what they said actually happened. That Jesus died on the cross, he was really buried, and on the third day he rose from the grave. And here's what they were willing to die for. This statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says this, I pass on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me, okay? This is what is most important. This is what we are willing to die for. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And get this, after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have actually died, meaning, hey, go and ask them. They're still around. You could ask them what actually happened. Then he was seen by James and later by all of the apostles. Look, the Bible records there's 11 different times where Jesus appeared in front of people proving his resurrection. He met with them indoors. He met with them outdoors. He met with them at different times of the day. He was physically touched by them. He was visibly seen by them. He was audibly heard by them. And they actually sat down and ate real food with him. The truth is this, that people will die for what they believe to be true, but no one will die for what they know is actually a lie. And this is what happened to the disciples in the book of Acts. They're kind of separated at times, and some of them are put in jail. Not all of them. You think, why would they not be all put in jail? Well, some of them were put in jail because it was almost like they were interrogating them. They wanted to separate them, get them separated, and ask what really happened, okay? They're like, this is what happened. And they're like torturing them. What really happened? This is really what happened. They would kill them because they would never recant what actually happened. You know what they kept saying, these eyewitnesses, even in the middle of this, these torturous moments? They said this, we can't stop telling people of what we've seen and what we've heard. We can't stop it. And the truth is that conspiracies get really weak and they fall apart when your life is on the line. Because conspiracies, if you've made the conspiracy up, the hoax yourself, it's actually all about self-promotion. You're doing it for your own good. You don't make up a conspiracy so that you can be brutally killed, okay? You just don't do that. But they knew him. They walked with him. Even before his death, they experienced real life with him. And they actually didn't believe that he was going to be killed and come out of the grave like he promised he would. And then something happened. And it wasn't until they actually witnessed it that their life was completely changed. Think about this. Why did Jesus do it? Why did he die? Why did he come up out of the grave? Why did he appear to so many people? And why was it actually recorded? Well, the Bible says something really profound in John chapter 20, towards the very end of John's account, his eyewitness account. Here's what John says. He says, but these are written, okay, the things you read in the Bible, they're written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, or maybe to believe for the very first time that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, here's what you can have. You'll have life by the power of his name. What this is talking about is life and death. Because the truth is that every single one of us is going to die someday. It's going to happen physically, we're going to die. But some of us, we're also going to die spiritually. That's what that's talking about. Not only will you die a physical death, but the Bible says you will die a spiritual death, meaning you will be separated for all of eternity from a good and loving God. Not because of his vengeance or because he has wronged you in some way, but it's because of your sin. Your sin separates you from God. This is the gospel message. The good news about Jesus is that he died in your place to pay for your sins. He is the sacrifice, the perfect and spotless sacrifice for you. That is good news. But also, it's even better news that he is not still in the grave. He rose from the grave. And we can have faith in him. Like Jesus isn't just a theory. It's a faith that we're supposed to believe in. And faith is not something like me just jumping out and closing my eyes and hope someone catches me. That's not what faith in Jesus is like. You know what God gives us? He gives us what we've been looking at today, a ton of evidence. God's gift to us is evidence that this is actually true and happened. And so we can have confidence when we have faith in Christ. That is good news. I'll say this, it is great news. And man, I look around this room, I know a lot of believers are in this room, and we're all a little weird, aren't we? Like, I mean, Christians just weird. Why are we dressing up on Sundays, coming to church, and doing the things we do? You know what the weirdest things is about Christians? Is that no matter our circumstance, most Christians still have joy, right? Just this weird joy. And people look at Christians like, why are you that way? The reason is because we have hope. We have hope in this life and in the life to come. The Bible never promises us that we'll have this problem-free kind of life, but instead that we can have confidence that when we die, we are not done. And Jesus, what he did for us is he defeated sin by dying on the cross. He paid for our sin. He defeated it. He conquered it. But you know what else? He also conquered death when he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. And so we can have this confident hope and joy that no matter what happens, we know where we're going. What about you? What about you? When you think about this evidence, the implications are staggering. And Jesus truly changes everything. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I want to do something a little bit different as we end our service. Before we pray, I want to invite you to come back. If you're a little skeptical in this room, if you're still trying to figure all this out, I want to invite you to come back this next week, because we're going to continue to talk about how Jesus changes everything, especially in your family. I don't know about you, but we all have some issues with our families, right? In fact, we're calling this next series called Fixer Upper. Here's a picture. Is that a representation of sometimes your family life? What can Jesus do in your life and in your family's life? Come back. Let's see what he can do. And I want to pray for you. In fact, I want to invite you to just bow your heads for just a second. Close your eyes. I want to ask this. If you're in this room or if you're online and you need prayer, will you let me know? If you're in this room, would you just raise your hand if you need prayer? Need prayer? I don't know what it's for. God knows what it's for. Maybe you just declare that, like, I need some prayer today. Okay. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're just a natural skeptic. But God's working in your heart right now. I want to pray for you. Let's do that right now. God, thank you for the good news about Easter. We celebrate not just the death of Jesus and what that means, but also that he came up out of the grave. His resurrection. That's the good news. That gives us hope that no matter what happens to us in this life, and when we die one day, if we have faith in Jesus who paid for our sins, then we can have everlasting life. I pray for those of us in this room who are a little skeptical, who are doubting. That's okay. That's just being real and honest. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into their hearts, move them, heal what is broken, fix what is messed up, change their hearts. I pray that today may be the day of their, what we call salvation as Christians, when they move from death to life, when Jesus pays for their sins, when they trust and believe. God, all we have to do is trust and believe. I pray that today someone here, someone online would trust in Jesus, confess their sins, and believe. You'd save them, God, for all of eternity. They could be with you someday in heaven. I pray for us in this room who need whatever that prayer is. God, you know those prayers. Heal them, God. Speak truth into their life. Move in the mighty way. Protect them. Meet their needs. Show your faithfulness right now, God, this week, today, in their life. They may see your power. Let me see your goodness. Thank you for the love of Christ, who is willing to get on the cross for us, and that showed his power by coming out of the grave. We serve a good and loving and awesome God who has defeated everything in our lives for us and asks us to trust in him. May we trust in you even more today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, church, I just want to say thank you so much for coming. We're not done yet. What we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate. We're going to finish out with the final song. And while that song is being sung and played, and even after we finish, if you need to make a decision for Christ, I would love to be able to speak with you. We have a connection team over here, people that would love to meet with you in our connection room, whether that's during the song or right after, we'd love to speak with you. Man, don't leave this place if God is calling you to a changed life. He can change your life if you'll trust in him. But for all of us in this room who are believers in Jesus, it's time to celebrate what he has done. So I invite you to stand to your feet. And as we have a final moment of worship and praise, let's celebrate Jesus right now.
You picked me up, you turned me around, and placed my feet on sand. solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Come on, is that your testimony? Sing it out.
You pick me up, you turn me around, and place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Let's end this the right way. Let's celebrate a little bit. Keep it going with me. Let's go. We got every reason to give him praise. When we were lost without hope, Christ made a way. Come on, sing it with me. Wander.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of the road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me another one. I am free. I am free. Oh, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Yeah. You pick me up. You turn me around and place my feet on solid ground.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting Him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following Him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word FORGIVEN to 94000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.